Ezra chapter 3. Again, for the reading of God's Word this morning, Ezra chapter 3 in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you'll find 1 Chronicles, and then you'll reach 2 Chronicles, and then you'll get to Ezra. Ezra chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 1 and 2. If you found Ezra chapter 3, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I'll read verse 1 if you'll read with me this morning on verse 2 in Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Again, I'll begin reading verse 1, Ezra chapter 3. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of God's Word. Thank you for the power of the Scripture. Thank you for your hand working, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that He'd show up this morning. Lord, we pray that you would just bind Satan, give us a good Sunday morning. Lord, I pray you just would bless the special, prepare our hearts for the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
Emily, great song. Well done. I enjoyed that this morning. Super. Now, we are on part three of what was supposed to be one message, okay, with 4 points, has turned into 4 messages with 1 point, all right? And, boy, I tell you what, I didn't ever plan it that way, but let's follow the Lord and see what He has for us and maybe learn something the last couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll learn something today that'll be a help for us. And this matter of keys to building a Christian life. That's what we've been talking about. Keys to building a Christian life. We'll review quickly and then jump into the material for this Sunday. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good music. My, how it prepares our hearts. Music that speaks to our spirit and our soul, not only our flesh. Lord, that truly we do need to lean on you. And you have proven yourself to be everything that we need. And so today I lean on you and lean on your spirit and ask for his leadership and direction in this message. And of course, his power without which we can do nothing. So help me. And I pray that that same power would arrest the attention of every listener. And that we have, Lord, the service that you wanted us to have when we came this morning. Bless the time in your book. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the setting quickly again. Now, the kingdom of Judah was taken into captivity by the Babylonians under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible teaches us that they were in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. At the end of that 70-year period, they were conquered. Babylon was conquered by the kingdom of Medo-Persia. All of this was predicted, of course, in Daniel chapter 2 in the dream that God gave Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel, it's a history book to me and you because it, of course, happened long before we lived. But friend, it was written, dream was before these world powers came into existence. And it's a prophetical book, proof that the word of God is credible. All right. And so now, Medo-Persia conquers Babylon, and there's a king by the name of Cyrus, and God stirs up Cyrus and says, I want you to put forth a command for my people to return to their homeland and rebuild their city, rebuild their country. And so Cyrus does that. The Spirit of God moves Cyrus, and he gives forth a decree, and several thousand, not all, but several thousand of the Jewish people leave Babylon. And they return to Jerusalem. I understand Jerusalem has been destroyed. The city is under destruction. All right? The homes are destroyed. The temple is destroyed. The very center of their worship is destroyed. Everything's torn down. The walls are destroyed. The city is open game to enemy armies and so forth. And that's what they go back to. All right? And they began to rebuild. And that's what we've been looking at in the book of Ezra. Ezra is about the rebuilding of Jerusalem by the Jewish people. And we're trying to learn some things about building the Christian life, okay? You and I ought to be in the constant, constant effort of building a Christian life. Building a better relationship with God. Building a better relationship with others. Building more knowledge about God, okay? Building our walk with God. Constantly building, building, building. What can we learn from the book of Ezra about building a Christian life? First of all, 2 weeks ago, we saw, number one, in chapter 3 and verse 2 that Brother Bragg read with us, the altar. You'll see the words there in chapter 3, verse 2, the altar. That's the first thing they did. First thing they did was build an altar, and they began to offer sacrifices on that altar. Now, friend, that is a picture of the fact that you and I need to build an altar and have some time with God every day. I called it altar time. When is your altar time? When is it? Do you have that time that you get alone by yourself with God and His Word, and you read what God has for your heart, and you say a few things back to God and speak with Him, and you have a few moments every day where you spend just a little time with God, where you can confess your sins, where you can ask God to wash you and make you clean, where you can tell God that you love Him. And spending time with somebody is proof that you love them. It is a critical part of building a Christian life. And if you and I don't establish altar time, we're not going to be long in living or building a Christian life for God. So we've got to have altar time. That is absolutely a necessity. It's the first thing they did. They built the altar. Then last week, we looked at verse number 10 in chapter 3. The Bible says that when the builders laid the foundation, there's the second key in building a Christian life, it's the foundation. If you've ever built anything, you know the foundation is absolutely vital, okay? The foundation for Christian life is this book right here. This is the foundation of a Christian life, okay? So everything that I believe and practice needs to be built on this book, okay? Everything I believe and practice needs to be built on this book. And friend, if you will build your life on the Bible, you will have a very strong foundation, all right? Very strong foundation. And by the way, that should be the basis for every message, preached at Faith Baptist Church. That should be the message for every lesson taught at Faith Baptist Church. My opinions don't amount to a hill of beans. My ideas don't amount to a hill of beans. In the course of preaching, my wife has been archiving my messages at home and has reached well over 1,000 messages in the archives of my notebooks. That's only a portion of the notebooks. She doesn't even have the ones that are in my closet back here, but she's been archiving those messages. And in the course of preaching in the same place for 22 years, my opinions, my ideas are going to make their way into messages. I can't help that. The same thing would be true if you were up here all the time doing it. But friend, that doesn't matter. My opinions and my ideas won't matter. What does matter, if I can point you to something that this book says, that matters, okay? That matters. We're talking about building on the foundation of God's Word. Building on something that the Bible says will endure forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word shall not pass away, okay? That's the foundation. Now, third key to building a Christian life. Look at chapter 4. You got your Bible open? We've been in chapter 3. Let's jump to chapter 4. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Now drop down to verse 4, okay? Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. Verse 5. And hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. Now I want you to notice again here. Look at verse number 1. See the word adversary. Then you drop down to verse number 4. Notice the word weakened. And notice the word troubled. And notice verse number 5, the word against. Do you see all that? Okay? So they've gotten back to Jerusalem. They've built an altar. They're offering their sacrifices on the altar. They're confessing their sins to God. They're making themselves right with God. They lay the foundation of the temple. And then right away, here comes third key, opposition. Opposition. Here you got adversaries and weakened and trouble and against. The third key of the Christian life is opposition. There's going to be opposition as you and I attempt to build for God. Now, wait a minute. Let me say something this morning. This may catch you by surprise because you're thinking, okay, this is supposed to be a series on keys to building a Christian life. Listen very carefully, friend. There is going to be opposition, but more than that, there needs to be opposition. There needs to be. You say, I don't like that. Neither do I. How much, friend, you're going to tell me that all your life is that what you like? That's not real. Reality is that there's going to be opposition, and reality is that there needs to be opposition to us building a Christian life. It's good to understand what opposition does for us. Opposition strengthens our character. It builds our resolve. It is necessary if we are going to build a strong life. Well, tell you something, friend. This is not my subject. I shouldn't even go here. But yeah, America used to be a nation of strong people. And I do believe that there's still a bunch out there. I do believe that. And I do believe if the socialists ever decide to throw their weight around in a warring type way in this country, I think you'll find out there's still a lot of Americans with resolve. And other things as well that help you. But anyway, I'm talking about opposition is necessary. It's good for us. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said it this way. He said, the test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. What does it take to stop us? The truth of the matter is, if you and I build a Christian life without opposition, we won't build it as near as strongly as we will build it if there is opposition, and we just learn how to handle the opposition that God brings our way. We need opposition in life. There's an interesting statement in verse number 5 of chapter 4. I hope you have your Bible open. I want to point it out to you. The Bible says they hired counselors, these people that troubled the hands of the builders, okay, and weakened them. They hired counselors against them. Now look at these next words. To frustrate their purpose. That's interesting. Frustrated their purpose. Now what was their purpose? Their purpose was to rebuild their temple. Their purpose was to rebuild their city. Their purpose was to rebuild their homes, to rebuild their places of business. Later on, it would be to rebuild the wall that went around the city. That was their purpose. It was a very simple purpose. But the Bible says that they frustrated these enemies, these adversaries, this opposition, frustrated these Jews in their purpose. Now, I think I've talked about this before. But let me take just a minute or two to explain what I think frustration is. What is frustration? Well, what about these Jews? They returned to the city of Jerusalem for the purpose of rebuilding their city. That was their, now watch me, that was their expectation. We're going to go back to Jerusalem. We've got a letter from the king. We've got permission from the king of Medo-Persia. We're going to go back to Jerusalem. We're going to gather the materials and we're going to rebuild the city. And their expectation was, we're going to do this and it's not going to be difficult other than just the physical labor to get it done. And then they started building. And they hit opposition. Now watch this. Their expectation was up here. Their experience was down here. This is idealism. Let's go build and have no opposition. This is realism. They weren't going to build without opposition. The space between what they expected and what they actually experienced is where they got frustrated. They're frustrated. Because we thought we'd come back to this city and we'd rebuild and we wouldn't have a bitter problem. That was our expectation. But what we experienced was opposition. And it frustrated them because their experience didn't live up to their expectation. They put it down where all of us have lived this. I'm positive that at some point in time in your life, you purchased something that didn't live up to your expectation. It probably was a Ford, but something, it might have been something else. Okay, but no, I'm just teasing. I've always got to dig that. I don't know. Okay, or a Volkswagen or something. I don't know. But you purchased something. And, you know, you had read about the product. You talked to your friends and family about the product. It was in your mind, you had this expectation about that product. That was what you thought you'd expect. That's what you expected out of it. What you experienced was something far less. And it what? Did it cause you frustration? Sure it did. That's what's happening to the Jews here. The same thing is true in building the Christian life. Hear me this morning. I want to help you in this thing. I want you to hear. I want you to listen carefully and I want to help you. Some people have the idea this is what they expect the Christian life to be like, and what they experience is this. And the difference between the two causes them to be frustrated. Now, I'm not going to get into this morning other than to say the end result of this frustration was that they stopped. They quit. They threw their hands up in the air and they walked away. You know what? That's happened to a lot of people. Listen to me very carefully. The Bible says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And in 32 years of ministry, I have seen people get saved and bust out of the starting gate like a rocket. And 3 years later, they're gone. Out of church. Out of church, out of Bible, out of the Christian life. No longer building. Okay? And they're frustrated in some cases. And when you knock on the door and talk to them, you know, I'd like to invite you to church. I used to go. And man, I went every Sunday and every Wednesday and I went and got involved in everything. And you know what, man, this happened. And you know what, I just don't go anymore. You know what happened? They expected this and they experienced this. And they got frustrated. Frustrated. And they didn't learn how to handle it, how to deal with it. I've said before, there are some people who have the idea, wow, man, now I'm saved, and that now that I'm saved, all my troubles are over. I'm going to live. I had a lot of trouble before I got saved. And you know what? That's true. You can have a lot of trouble before you get saved. And now I'm saved, and all my troubles are over. If that happens for you, please come see me. You know, it's just not that simple. And some people, they're stunned when they encounter a little trouble. It's like, what? Dave Smith called on, I forget what day, Brother Dave called. And of course, he's down in Kentucky now, working under Brother Fugit's ministry and the camp down there. But he was camp director out here in Iowa at the Cedar Baptist camp for probably 25 years, 26 years. And you know, you folks that were here over the years, you know Brother Dave. And so we were reliving some of the old days at Cedar River Baptist Camp. My, did we have some good times there. Oh, and the guy that was here Wednesday night, Matt Gansimer, he mentioned that in his testimony, missionary in Argentina. But anyway, I was thinking back, when I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking back to those days at Cedar River and being out there at junior camp with those little guys at junior camp. And Brother Dave had that boxing ring. Some of you boys might have done this. And during afternoon activities for the boys, they boxed. No. Wonderful. No, wonderful. Little Lord Fauntleroy. Needs to know what it feels like to be busted in the chops one time. Oh, yeah. That's part of our problem with Americans. So we've raised soft people. They don't have to fight, man. So he put the gloves on them. And those little guys, you know, man, they're standing there and they're watching those, you know, the boys get in the ring first. And they see all the activity and the guys, the cheering. And it was all controlled. It was all with headgear and gloves. It was all controlled. And then, you know, now, Brother Dave, who wants to box next? And some little boy, and he gets in. He's just a little bitty guy. He gets in the ring. I remember this happening more than once. And they're just, you know, just in there. And they got these gloves that are almost too heavy for them to hold up, you know. And they get in there, and they go out there, and they don't know the first thing about boxing. And some of the other kid does. And it's wham! And the kid turns around with this stunned look, crying, "He hit me." It's kind of like, yeah, that's kind of what this is all about. It's called boxing. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, they recovered and Brother Dave would help them and teach them how to hold their hands up and how to box in the ring. And they would go on to have a very fun time. It didn't hurt them at all. But it was funny because it was like how did this happen? Well, let's see. You put the gloves on, you put the headgear on, you got in the ring. It is boxing. Yet Christians, you know what? Sometimes you get saved, you start running for God, and all of a sudden a little opposition comes along and it's like, "He hit me." What was it Brother Olaf used to sing? "It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game." But the Christian life is. And if we're not careful, you get this expectation that's up here about the Christian life. Man, easy street, rose-strewn pathway, got eternal life in heaven, Jesus is my Savior, the Holy Ghost is my guide, the Bible is my compass, I got a church full of people that love me and want to help me. Man, I have got it made. And then the first thing you know, bow. And you get frustrated. That's exactly what happened to these builders in Jerusalem. Hey, young Christian, old Christian, Christian saved for a short time, Christian saved for a long time. It doesn't matter. There will always be opposition when you and I want to build for God. And I'll tell you something else. There needs to be opposition. The stronger the opposition, the more strongly we build. Okay? It's important to know that. Now, it's more than just it's going to be opposition. There needs to be opposition. I'll give you three areas where the Bible teaches us, where does opposition come from? All right? I'll give you this quickly, then I'll wrap this up because I'm getting out of, time is getting short already. Number one, there will be opposition from within. Opposition from within. Now, don't turn to it for sake of time. If you like to take notes, write down Galatians 5:17. Read that verse sometime this afternoon. But here's what it says. Listen carefully. For the flesh. Now, look at me. You can take the word flesh right there, and you can substitute the words me. That's me. When I read it, the flesh, that's Terry Angel. Okay? When he reads it, that's him. That's Caleb Hansen. That's the old sin nature, Terry Angel, depraved, sinful. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God. So Terry Angel, the old, unsaved, Adamic natured Terry Angel, lusts against the Spirit of God, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now watch this. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. Now I need to understand this. You know what that verse is teaching me? That verse is teaching me that some of the greatest opposition I'm going to experience in building a Christian life is going to come from right here. From me. Okay? You want to know where your greatest opposition is going to come from? The person you look at in the mirror every morning. Now, folks, we live in a day and age where we love to put the blame on somebody else. Boy, if I can tag him, if I can tag them, if I can tag her, if I can tag that set of relatives, if I can tag this set of circumstances and put all the blame for my difficulty on that, then I'm a happy person. I'll tell you something. You may be happy for a very short period of time, but that's not reality. Our biggest opposition comes from us. My flesh is going to bring opposition to my building project. I get saved. I start reading my Bible. I'm going to church. The Spirit of God moves me. He leads me. He directs me to build a certain way. And then from within, this voice screams out, I don't want to. Whoa, where'd that come from? Who said that? Came out of right here. I don't want to. I don't want to tell the truth. Not now, because I think lying will benefit me. I don't want to be honest. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. The Spirit of God says, live this way, do this, build this way. You'll have a strong building. And from within, that voice says, I don't want to. That comes from within my own heart. See, friend, listen. Yes, when I got saved, some wonderful things happened. The Spirit of God moved in my body. I was given a brand new nature. Now I'm alive to God. Everything that used to be dead to me is now alive to me. But that old nature's not going away. Keeps pulling and hacking away at me. It's the voice from within that says, Terry, I don't want to. Terry, you don't want to. No, 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 I don't want to. Now understand that is going to happen, friend. When you set out to build the Christian life, opposition is going to come from within. You, yourself, me, myself, fighting against the Spirit of God who would lead us to build in a certain direction. So opposition is going to come from within. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you hear that voice that says, I don't want to. Be surprised. That's opposition from within. Second of all, there's going to be opposition from without. That's what happened here in the book of Ezra in verses 1, 4, and 5. There will be those around us in the world who will create opposition while we attempt to build. The people came from the outside, without, and they began to oppose this building project. Now, there will be opposition to you, for you and me, when we're building a Christian life. Sometimes that opposition comes, I hate to say it, but sometimes it comes from family. You know, listen. When I got saved, I had a Christian dad and mom. I had two Christian brothers. I had a Christian grandmother on both sides, two Christian grandmothers. I had all those saved people around me to support me. I understand. I was blessed. There are some people, some folks in this church who don't have a Christian mom, don't have a Christian dad, don't have Christian siblings, they don't have Christian grandparents, they don't have anybody saved around them. And when you get saved and you start trying to build for God, there can be opposition from family. There can be. I remember several years ago in the old building. Man, goodness, this dates way back. This dates way back. Some girls coming on the bus out of Kankakee, and one Sunday their mother came, sat in the service, and the mother got saved. The mother got baptized, and the mother started coming to church with the girls and coming on Sunday nights and getting in. And I mean, she got excited. We had a project to work on the buses one time. We had the DOT came by and put a bunch of stickers on our buses, and we had to rally them in and get the buses fixed. And she brought food for all the guys who were working out there on the buses. And I mean, she was locked in. But her husband was lost. And he gave her opposition. He gave her opposition. I'm not going to go into all that I told her this morning. I'm not going to go into all that happened. But she couldn't handle it. After a while, it got the best of her. It was opposition from family. That's not easy, but don't be surprised if that happens. Opposition from family. I'm talking about opposition that can come from friends. You know, when you're lost, this is how it was for me. I lived in a comfort zone with my friends. You know what I'm talking about? We all ran together. Our lifestyles pretty much were the same, you know. We talked alike. We listened to the same music. We laughed alike. Our habits were alike. There's a comfort zone. I can move and operate within the structure of my friend relationships in a comfort zone because I was like everybody else. But when you get saved and the Spirit of God moves in you, and now all of a sudden, words that you used to feel comfortable saying, you don't feel comfortable saying anymore. And things you used to laugh at, you don't feel comfortable laughing at anymore. And habits and entertainment and other stuff that you used to be a part of, they don't feel comfortable anymore. And all of a sudden, you start, you know, slipping out and not running with those friends. And you know what happens? The comfort zone gets ruffled. And friends start going, oh, man, who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? Susie Scripture? Hey, Billy Bible's coming. It happens. Because the nest, the comfortable nest, has been disturbed. It's all been ruffled. And you know what happens when that happens? You know, and then here's what you hear. Yeah, hey, tell you what, man. Ever since you started going to that church, and they want to pin it on a religion or some religious organization, it has nothing to do with a religious organization. It has everything to do with the fact that you've been saved and the Spirit of God lives in you and you're learning the Bible and you have new appetites and new desires and the old things have passed away and all things have become new. And there's opposition. There's opposition. I remember years ago, Wilson Gingrich got saved. No, he didn't get saved. He got right with God. He was already saved. Some of the guys from Iowa will know Wilson Gingrich, a successful businessman in the church out there. After he got saved, after he got right with God, started going to church, started building his Christian life. He owned a shop, a very successful shop. He was coming around the corner one day and somebody had left the semi door open. Well, semi doors aren't car level. Semi doors are up here. And he came around the corner and had his head down and he wasn't paying attention. He ran right into the corner of the semi door with his forehead. And all those guys that were working there with their wrenches, everything, they heard, oh, they sort of heard it crumble and he was on his knees. And they turned around and they all waited for the explosion of expletives and profanity. He put his hand to his forehead and he just said, oh, stood up and just shook his head and he said, man, that hurt. Boy. It went on. They're all like, now you hear me, friend. You can't pin that on any religion or religious organization. In the heat of the moment like that, a spontaneous accident like that, you know what made the difference? It came from within. Y'all got that? Yeah. Opposition is going to come from without when you start building a Christian life and the comfort zone of those around you is discomforted. What's going on with this guy? What's going on with this lady? Okay? So opposition comes from within. Opposition comes from without. I got to quickly say this. Opposition comes from the wicked ones. In 2 Corinthians, don't turn to it, chapter 12, verse 7, Paul talks about, now don't miss this. Look, I know the time better than you do. I got this great big red thing staring at me right there. Let me help you. It's 12:02. And the roast is going to be done at 12:05. So you're in trouble. Okay. Okay. Just bear with me, okay? It's all right. Look, we don't run by a clock here, okay? Just bear with me for a minute. Let me get done with this. I only got a few lines left. Man, I only got a few lines left. I don't do it now. I have to do it next week. We got 5 weeks to go. Okay. Listen to what Paul said. He said the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. And we don't use that word buffet anymore. We use the word buffet. We like buffets. But that word buffet is an old English word. You'll find the meaning, the definition of it in the Bible, where the Bible says that the Roman soldiers, now listen to this, took their fists and they buffeted Jesus. You know what they did? They took their fists and they hit him. That's what the word buffet means. It means a blow with the fist. Paul said the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me, to give me a blow with his fist. Now, can I just help you with something this morning? Sometimes it's not opposition from within because the Spirit of God is moving and working in your life and it's like, man, I can't wait to live for God today and I'm happy to live for God and I'm happy to have this. And from within, everything is right. And it's not opposition from without. Your family, your friends are kind of leaving you alone. You're building, okay? It's not opposition from within. It's not opposition from without. But in the middle of the day, it's like, bam. Ugh. Where's that coming from? The day has just kind of gone haywire and things have just kind of worked against me. Let me tell you something, friend. There is a very real spirit world full of opposition when you and I are trying to build a Christian life. Sometimes it's just the old devil smacking you and me in the face. How's that? Take that, child of God. You can't see it. It's not visible. But you can't. Can I tell you? Because some of you have heard it, but I know some of you haven't. It's like the old boy in the boxing ring. I'm stuck on boxing. And he went into the ring, and in the first round, he got the dog beat out of him. He got slugged all over the place. And the bell rang after 3 minutes. He went back to his corner, and his trainer jumped in the thing and started, you know, poured some water on him. He said, man, didn't lay a glove on you. We got him. We got him. Didn't lay a glove on you. Came time for round two. He goes back out the second time. Same thing. Man, he just gets pounded mercilessly. He endures in the third minute. He comes back to the corner. Trainer jumps over the ropes, gets in his face, squirts water, throws it. Man, he ain't touched you. Ain't touched you. Round three, same thing. Just murdered. Beat up. He wobbles back to the corner at the end of the round, and the trainer jumps over the ropes, and he says, man, hadn't laid a glove on you. Not in three rounds. Hadn't touched you. And the bell rang to go back out for the fourth round, and he stood up, and he looked at his trainer. He said, do me a favor. He said, you keep your eye on that referee, because somebody's beating the dog out of me. So, I think that is the funniest story. And that's how it is sometimes. It's not friends. It's not family. It's not even you. You're doing okay with your Christian life. And then the man in the middle of the day, boom, pow, boom. What is this? Who in the world is this? It's called the messenger of Satan. He come to blow you, hit you in the face. Y'all got that? You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about opposition. You say, I don't like that. Neither do I. No. You ever been hit in the face? Unexpectedly? What'd you do? Thank you. No. Hey, if you're a real man, when your kids accidentally hit you in the face, you have to harness your emotion. Because a man don't like to get hit in his face. He has the initial reaction. Look at verse 24, chapter 4. We're done. Then ceased the work. Oh, no, please. And guess what? That's the end of the message.
What?
Yeah, you don't have another 35 minutes to hear message number 4. Okay? Come back next Sunday. But it stopped. They stopped building. Their purpose was frustrated. Now look, opposition is necessary. You just can't let it stop you. But to think that you can build a Christian life without opposition is unreal. And it's not even good. What's good is opposition. Folks, can I tell you something? The truth of the matter is, you know what? Opposition tells us that, you know, something's going on. There is no friction when you're not moving. But when you're moving, there's friction. So opposition says, you know what? There's something going on here. There's something happening. And we'll talk about the solution to this next Sunday, Lord willing. But let me just say this. I read a little story this week about sailors who have made their living sailing on ships that navigate through the northern seas. And sailors have often commented that they would observe these icebergs traveling into the teeth of strong winds. And they wondered, how in the world can the iceberg move against into the teeth of a strong wind? And there's a very simple explanation for that. 9/10 of the iceberg's bulk is under the surface of the water. And the bulk of that iceberg's, the great percentage of that iceberg's bulk was caught in a strong current that could not be seen. And the strong current under the surface of the water moved that iceberg. And because more of that iceberg's bulk was under the water than above the water, are you with me? The iceberg moved into the teeth of the wind without stopping. It's all right. We're almost done. What he's saying is, would you please stop? Okay, that's what I'm getting there. All right? I'm getting there. And I'm like, these folks are coming to join the church this morning, so that's all. Crying baby, okay? If you got money or you want to join the church, you can do anything. I'm just that's terrible. That iceberg was moving into the face of that wind because the bulk of that iceberg was underneath the surface of the water being carried by the current. A little bit of it was on the above the surface facing the wind. And friend, that's why you and I need opposition, because we need to build deep. Build deep. Because the winds are going to blow, but if we build deep, the current of God's grace will keep moving us ahead in the face of opposition. I love that. Don't you love, a man loves that. Isn't there something in you guys that that rings a note inside me, man. Just to keep moving in the face of opposition. Keep building. Don't stop. And there's a solution to it. There really is. We'll talk about it next Sunday. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening. Oh, goodness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning. Please help us, Lord, to learn from your book how to build properly the Christian life. Help us, oh God, please. I pray for everybody in this room who's attempting to build a Christian life right now. God, I pray for them and myself. When the opposition comes, help us just to keep going, keep building. Never stop. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. Quickly, how many would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. I needed that. That helps me. That encourages me. But some way, somehow, the Spirit of God spoke to me. Raise your hand. I'll pray for you this morning. That's it. Praise God for that. Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 I see some of you sitting here this morning, and I've been praying for you. Brother Caleb and I have been saying, boy, just pray for this brother. Pray for this man. Pray for this lady. You're here this morning. You had a little opposition. You're in church. You're here. Amen. Amen. Keep building. Just keep building. keep building. Who's here today? Say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm sure of that. Raise your hand to tell that to be true. God bless you. Anybody here, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I do not know that heaven is my eternal home. I've heard a lot about it, and it bothers me in my heart because I'm not sure that I'm saved on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Not sure? Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you while we wait. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to be baptized, now's the time to come to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you're going to join the church, you've talked to us about it. When we give the invitation, you come. Child of God, did you raise your hand this morning? Did you learn something? Were you encouraged? Why don't you tell God that you got encouragement this morning and ask Him to help you keep building? Father, bless the invitation, please. In Jesus' name.